This is MFG Out Loud. Courageous conversations about sales and marketing for today's manufacturers. With your hosts, Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore.
All right, hey, Trailblazers, trying something new today, a little intro music. You got to do that when you've got this guest, this special. We are so excited to have you join us on this week's episode of MFG Out Loud. Our guest today is Mr. Mike Magliano. He's the Managing Director of Industrial and Corporate Real Estate at Cushman & Wakefield. And we'll get into some of the nuts and bolts and details of that. But let me give you a little background about Mike and why we think he's such an awesome guest to be here today and talk to manufacturers. You know, everybody knows that one person that has that knack for being able to, they can get you a table at that hot new restaurant, or they're the ones that are saving the seats at the bar and that new sports bar that nobody can get into and is always packed, but you come in, you look around, and there's Mike waving, go, come on over, I got a spot. He does that for manufacturers and industrial real estate. He's the guy that can find those places and help everybody just have a good time with their business and keep things going forward. In a property market that's gone crazy, Mike helps his clients understand their options and make good long-term decisions. Now, I first connected with Mike through TMA, which in the Chicago area, that's Technology and Manufacturing Association. And I'm well aware of the many manufacturing companies that Mike has helped, including TMA themselves. He's helped them grow in new facilities. So, Mike, we are super excited to have you here today. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. Really appreciate it. Obviously, we've known each other for about 10 years and always enjoy the conversation. And now you throw Allison in the mix. This is going to be a great conversation. She raises the bar for between right? us, Ray. So I'm excited for this.
Exactly. Well, listen, man, let's jump in and get right at it. You have a special place in your heart and in your business for manufacturing and distribution. How did that happen? Give us a little bit of your background and your journey that brought you to that intersection.
Sure. You know, life obviously doesn't get you to the final destination, you know, or your long-term career. So there was a couple different pivots. I grew up in Chicagoland area. I graduated in DePaul with a marketing and an e-commerce degree in 2001. And so, as you can imagine, 2001, the job market tanked. And so I actually ended up staying another 6 months in school to get that second degree, the e-commerce degree. Now, e-commerce was in its infancy back then. And what we learned back then is doesn't have too much relevance because it's, you know, multiplied by 150%. So, you know, I thought it would be a good mixture. So believe it or not, my mom knew the regional marketing director at Grubb & Ellis, which obviously used to be a corporate real estate firm. So she asked her if she had any openings, and lo and behold, I got a job as their marketing coordinator at Grubb & Ellis. So for my first 3 years, I was creating marketing brochures, open houses, pamphlets, and so on and so forth. So it was fun, but you know, I realized that all of a sudden I'm like, I really love this real estate aspect of it. So I got my license within my first year just to learn, and then quickly realized that none of my family or friends were real estate brokers. So I hung my license at Century 21, was doing better at residential real estate early in 2000 than I was doing marketing. So I'm like, you know, I gotta figure out where I need to go. So I did some research with office, retail, multifamily, residential, and industrial. And you know, doing a lot of support for the industrial, going on the meetings, and you know, just kind of took hold of me between the real estate and just seeing all the products that were made, hearing the business stories of how people started and what they grew from. And you know, you turn around, as we all know, everything that you are around you has been made by someone. You know, we have a computer, we have a desk, we have lights, we have basically besides the air and the dirt and obviously that's in the atmosphere, everything is made. So quickly started enjoying it, switched over to brokerage in 2005 and been doing industrial brokerage since. So we've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's been, it's been an interesting ride. As we know, the dynamics have changed.
Well, you know, the title of today's episode is Moving On Up. Thus the reason, you know, I had to play the theme from the Jeffersons. But I think what's cool about you, like Ray said, is you help manufacturers move on up. And I think over time, I'm pretty positive you've noticed some patterns and best practices with manufacturers who are growing. Could you share some of those with the audience?
Yeah, I mean, I would describe my, you know, we'll call it my philosophy as we'll call it, Mike before the recession and Mike after the recession. Because as you start in the industry, I'd say the first 4 years up until 2009, you're just literally just dialing and smiling. It's your typical sales, and that's what you want to do. And you're just literally, you are a gnat or an annoyance to business owners until they pick up the phone. I had an opportunity to switch over to Cushman to work on a team that I've been working on since. You know, if you can't beat them, join them. So I jumped over, and it's been a great opportunity since. But I learned pretty quickly when you're calling people in 2009, it was, you know, whatever adjective they wanted to describe the recession. But, you know, the business, you know, pretty much besides medical and food, it was in a declining fashion pretty quickly. So, you know, I learned quickly that if you're just a real estate broker, there's always walls. You can't really build the relationships that you need to. So throughout the recession, I just basically started taking a blind survey and asking business owners what their pain points are besides the recession. So I would say, you know, kind of understanding the industry, being involved with TMA, being involved with, you know, IMA and Valley Industrial Association, I got to learn a lot more than, you know, kind of the pre-recession. And what I would say is that my business is surrounded about bringing the right people to the table. And, you know, when someone's looking to grow, move, or talk about it, you definitely need to have the right process. If you don't have the right process, you're definitely, you know, there are pitfalls. And that means if you don't vet out move costs, if you don't understand, you know, how you're going to move and bring in the right professionals, even if you look at all four walls and say, we could stay here, then, hey, there, we accomplished something. And, you know, we just say we had a really good experience and, you know, we just keep in touch. And that's kind of been my philosophy since then, is that, you know, real estate transactions, they're transactions that Cushman want, but I want to build relationships. I mean, for two reasons. Obviously, I enjoy doing that. I enjoy helping people, even if it's connecting them from one person to another. And number two, I'm not going to lie, I got three daughters. So I know I have a long-term approach with a 7 all the way up to 13-year-old that it's going to go from, you know, all the princess stuff that we're starting to phase out of all the way to eventually weddings. So I know this is a long-term, I'm going to be doing it. And I just want to keep working and having fun and doing things the right way, just to help people. Because I learned if you try to plan things at the 11th hour, you're destined for failure. And as we know, you know, I don't have to tell any business owner, but any hiccup could significantly damage or cost their business a lot of money. So it's all about planning.
I think, you know, one of the interesting things you bring up is you really are, you play the long game. And part of it is you're aligned with the nature of your industry, because even the companies that are locked and loaded and said, you know what, Mike's the only guy we're going to deal with, you know, how many transactions are they going to do? It's not like every year, maybe some are, you know, but it might be measured in like several year increments before something happens. I imagine you got a longer buying cycle than cars, you know what I mean? Between transactions. So I think one of the things I've observed, and I don't know if this came from your marketing background or whatever, but when I first met you and when I seen you engage at TMA Valley and the other networking events, you do take the long game. Nobody grimaces and goes, oh crap, here comes the guy from Cushman Wakefield. You know, he wants me to move. It's not it. It's like you're generally talking about other stuff first, but then when it comes time to move, you're the first guy they talk about. You know, was that learned, or is that just kind of a function of kind of who you are?
I would probably say both. You know, I have no problem talking to anyone about anything. And that's the beauty. I don't know if you see my hands go up, that's because I'm Italian and I talk loud at times. So I would have to say that's just kind of part of my DNA. But, you know, I think I learned pretty quickly during that first 4 years is that, you know, there's a point where you're never going to get over if you are just transactional Mike and just real estate Mike and so on and so forth. And again, it's like every other sales position. You're judged at Cushman or where name your company by the revenue you bring in. And then you get a title. And then obviously you get, you know, the funny part is I'm a managing director, but you know, I get all these random, you know, LinkedIn requests saying, we want to come in and help rework your office staff and everything. I'm like, well, slow down. First of all, I'm a broker. I have a title that thinks, you know, people think I'm a managing broker or director, but I, you know, I'm not. So that's always kind of funny when you get a different title and everyone kind of thinks differently. But I would say it's just in my nature. I have fun doing it. I mean, I always say if I can get paid to do plant tours, that'd be one of the coolest jobs ever. I mean, that's like Mike Rowe when he goes to different, you know, how things are made or any of those right. things. I mean, it's just fun. And you hear the story and you love it. And it becomes part of you to just go about saying, look, I'm here to help. And some people don't resonate and they say, well, I don't want to talk to a real estate broker. And I just say, look, I'm not that guy, but you know, whatever you want. If you want Mike, the real estate broker, that's fine. But if you want someone who, you know, has a, you know, a network behind them that wants to sit down and understand your business, you know, why are you telling me we're moving or why are you telling me there's a problem? Why is there a hiccup in your business? Let's just roll up our sleeves, look under the curtain and tell me what you want to discover and what we can do to help.
What you said something a second ago that ties in with this, and I think it's part of a much bigger picture. And it also makes me think about manufacturers and marketing, like all of it together. I think I quoted you correctly. If you're just a broker, there are always walls. But the fact that you're thinking bigger picture, longer term, and Ray and I see the same thing with manufacturers all the time. If you come into anything as, you know, we're just a manufacturer or I'm just a broker, and that's the only hat you wear, and that's your mindset, you're limiting yourself. But the fact that you've chosen, you know, you understand you're part of a bigger picture, right? And they may not need you ever. They may not need you tomorrow, but you're there to build relationships first and be of service, sell second.
Spot on. I mean, it's, you know, honestly, I've been talking to people for 17 years. They haven't moved. It's fine. You just keep in touch and see how they're doing and see if there's any obstacles or pain points that they have. It's fine. I do have customers that are more repeat, but you know, honestly, the repeat doesn't happen on a year-to-year basis. I mean, it's more a 3, 5, 7, 10-year plus cycle. It's kind of interesting. I'm working with a manufacturer out in the Western suburbs right now. And it's kind of scary because, you know, we signed the lease in 2010. And at that point, you know, we were able to, you know, get this amazing transaction because of just the economics of the deal. And now we're coming out of it. And just to look back and we started negotiating in 2009 and the deal transpired in 2010. And throughout the years, they've had extra space. I've helped them backfill it. You know, they've had questions and, you know, it's just, you know, you're just there. You know, you're not there because you have to. You're there because, you know, you want to and you enjoy it.
One of the things I was surprised by, the more times, you know, we would talk about what's going on in the market and different things like that is the amount of data that you bring to the table, not just to kind of overwhelm people, but and I know you put together a lot of stuff on kind of I think it's a relocation checklist type, yep. You know, that you've got in place, plus just the tools that the company kind of backs you up with. So, you know, you really can't, it's a big decision to make a move, and it really does help to have data at your fingertips and somebody that can help guide you through it. And that seems to be a big chunk of the value add you bring.
Well, that's one thing, obviously, of having we'll call it a, you know, some people think a big name is not going, you know, they're going to focus on the, you know, large e-commerce and the billion-dollar companies, and you're going to be focusing only on those companies because you're at a Cushman and Wakefield. But it's actually the complete opposite. you know, I can bring those services that are there, like a national and global research team, a supply chain potentials consulting and incentives practice and construction management. I mean, all these different things that Cushman has is kind of boilerplate, you know, services that they use on a national basis. I can bring that down. And it's valuable because, again, you know, there's things that, you know, are handed to me every quarter or trends and everything like that, where, you know, we are hand in hand with our local industrial research team. And we're telling them, this is what's going on. And they're confirming it with the data, and everything goes hand in hand. And it's nice to have that because, again, you know, in a market like we have today, which is a fast paced, low vacancy market, with the historically low vacancy rate, you have to make decisions quickly and you have to be prepared. So for someone to understand what they're getting themselves into is, you know, it's going to be more valuable than anything else.
Yeah. And,
well,
and
go ahead,
Allison. I'm sorry.
Well, no, you go ahead and then I'll follow.
The thought that occurred to me was, given the time between when companies move or expand or whatever, it's such a different world today than, you know, if we go back 10 years, you know, 2011. And if, you know, the thinking you had at the time, well, let's get three options, put them against each other and see who cuts us the best deal. That the whole approach, you know, is I would imagine is completely different today. And, you know, they need to be educated on that. You can't wait until the last minute, you know, and then move. So,
yeah, I mean, you're spot on. Obviously, the market's a complete 180 from 10 years ago. Yeah. So it's a different dynamic. And, you know, companies that are prepared and companies, you know, plan these, you know, these, we'll call it expansions out and are well thought, they're the ones who actually save money in the long run. Because, you know, in overall, you know, from a cost perspective, as well as a relocation cost perspective, you know, they take the time, and maybe I could take $150,000 of the electrical move and put it on the landlord. And maybe that's part of the landlord make ready prep. So you can move some buckets and go from there. But yeah, things have changed significantly. You know, money is, you know, historically right now, it's pretty much free, you know, compared if you go back 20, 30, 40 years ago. My dad was in residential real estate when I was born, and he said interest rates were mid 20%. So, you know, we're hovering in the 3%. So if you look at that, it's a complete different dynamic. So there's a lot of capital out there, and in businesses for the most part, besides the ones still coming back from COVID, are seems like they're moving forward. Obviously they're, you know, we all know there's headwinds. We hear it every day. Inflation, let's be honest. Anyone who says inflation's coming, it's here. You know, all the commodities are through the roof right now. And is it giving a little pause to the industry? I would say maybe like a 1 second pause, because then, you know, developers and owners have to figure out, well, if I build this building, what's my return? But for the most part, vacancy didn't miss a beat from the beginning of 2020 till now. We actually stayed at 5.3% over a year term, you know, that through COVID. And then we're anticipating vacancy to go down to 5%, and average historical markets 8 to 8.5%. So that 3% is over 1.2 billion square feet. So, you know, you have, you know, you're far off from an average market. So we have a long runway. Do we think prices are getting a little frothy? There's a lot of bidding wars and so on and so forth. Yes. But right now there's no indication as of now that says there's any true stopping point. I mean, it can change, but, you know, all indicators are saying things are going to open up in more of these industries, like the exhibits and the trade shows and hospitality. Those are just going to follow in suit as people are confident to go back out.
Well, do you feel like for any of your clients or people listening who are thinking of expanding or moving, are there any other things they should do to prepare and things they should also watch out for?
Yeah, great question. So I think, you know, as we all know, the biggest issue in manufacturing and transportation and logistics and everything is a people problem. It's 100% a people problem, whether it's truck drivers. And then obviously, if you're in logistics, it's hard to get containers, and then it's shipping issues. So in company with that, we do a lot of zip code analysis and zip code matrix mapping. So it's as simple as sending over a Excel spreadsheet And we have a mapping department that could plot where your customers are, where your employees are coming, where your freight's going. And we can do it on a local basis and a national basis. So I think the number one thing is to understand that, because again, if you move too far and you lose two or three key people, or even 5% of the workers in the warehouse or the manufacturing plant, probably not going to find another people to replace it. So that seems like that's always been the critical point, you know, starting point. 10 years ago, in my opinion, it was, you know, if it's a local company, where does the owner live? I mean, honestly, where does the owner live? If he lives in Naperville, Geneva, Itasca, you know, he's going to try to get as close as possible. But now it's all about, where is majority of my staff coming from? And, you know, it's different. The office staff is obviously looked upon differently now with COVID, but it's the manufacturing staff that, you know, you can't skip a beat. So I would say that's number one, prepare, get prepared on that end. Understand your machine movers costs, you know, or moving costs. You know, I brought in a machine remover, electrical contractor and construction company, and we're able to give a 20, you know, I would say the variance is probably about 20%, but you get a budget number now. But again, it all depends on what building, how far, what's existing in it. But, and then just when you get out the market, be prepared and get creative. I hate to say it, because it's such a tight market. We had a group here in Illinois, dead set on buying 100%. We want to buy. Couldn't find anything that was, one, affordable, and two, kind of in the parameters. We said, all right, we need to go down Parallel Pass. We went down Parallel Pass, and there was a building a minute and a half or a mile and a half away from them. And we're trying to finalize the lease, and, you know, in their 5-year plan, then they can plan on somewhere within that 5 years to buy a facility and then kind of move into that. So you got to be ready to adapt, and you just have to be ready to, you know, kind of, you know, the unknown's always out there, and just got to try to minimize any of that risk.
Is there a sweet spot that you work within? I know I've, again, from our conversations, I know you work with organizations that are, you know, 20 to 50. I know you work with, you know, some of the biggest names in distribution as well. Is there a right size where they, you know, business leaders should be contacting an organization like yours? Or is that, is, as you said before, has that notion of, you know, big companies only deal with big companies, you know, type thing?
I mean, I hate to say it, I'm agnostic on size and industry. I would say, obviously, there's challenges. You know, startups are always difficult just because landlords understand that, you know, this is a new company. We've worked with startups before, but I would say, you know, I'm on a, you know, 6-person team. So we have a team behind us where, you know, we can have certain people running different processes during the team. And you know, I leverage partners at Cushman. I don't care if they're on my team or they're not on my team. So it doesn't matter what submarket is here locally and nationally. So I would say, you know, we're selling anything from, you know, we got a 5,000 square foot building in Elk Grove that we're, you know, negotiating hopefully a contract here soon, and all the way up to, you know, we're representing the Caterpillar plant in Montgomery, which is 4 million square feet. So, you know, anything in between we can help out with, and we can provide, you know, we can provide a team that will, you know, you'll definitely get the attention that is needed in the process that comes with it.
That's awesome.
Is there anything that would surprise people about, I don't know, and maybe we already covered this in with my last question, but I feel like you're so knowledgeable. So if somebody's listening right now and they're thinking, yeah, I pretty much got all this down, I'm getting ready to reach out to somebody like Mike, is there anything, I don't know, surprising that you've come across that's come up or that would surprise them? I don't know. Maybe this is a poor question, but I feel like, you know, is there something?
Yeah. I mean, expect unexpected, whether it's, whether if there's an environmental concern, whether if it's, you know, what, you know, I would say, again, make sure you have your team in place. You know, make sure you consult, you know, whatever banking institution that you have, if it's through Summer Core, the SBA, or it's directly through whichever bank that you're working with. But I would say before you do anything, make sure your team's set in place, and understand that there are going to be surprises. There's going to be hiccups. There's going to be starts and stops. But start early. You can never start too early. You know, whenever you think you have a year and you're like, oh, I got a year, realistically, I just actually kind of just did a bullet point timeline for someone that said, hey, we have till January before we have to move and we really want to buy a building. I told him, I said, well, hypothetically, we tour on May 1st. We get offers out. We agree to terms by the end of May. Then you have 60-ish days of due diligence. So now you're in June, July. Then by the time you close, you're in August. And then you have permits September, your build out October, November, and then you're moving in right around the holidays. So that time frame isn't really, you know, you don't have a lot of room for error. So I would say always start early, because then what you can do is, again, business changes quickly. It's fluid. New contracts, loss of business, merging. There's a ton of M&A activity that's really coming in. People are looking for capital. So we've sold buildings and leased it back to them. So there's a lot of different things that we can do. And if we understand the story, then, you know, where the business is going, then we can put the game plan just to mirror that. So I would say that it's never too early to start the process.
I love that. Ray, we're getting towards the end, buddy. Do you want to take the last question?
Is this the unofficial last question, or we're already done asking questions? This is the weird one Ray comes up with.
Exactly.
Okay.
Ooh, Mike, I like this. Yes.
About your dog. You got it. He's character, and he's a big part of the family. You got to tell us about the dog.
All right. He's my son. He is my son. So, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, we said, you know, we're going to get a dog. We're trying a dog. We can handle a dog. We can handle a kid. So God willing, on April 27th, he's going to be 15. Wow. So grandpa is, you know, in full force, and he's, you know, he's showing his age, but, you know, he's still, you know, I'm going to knock on wood right now,
yeah,
but
right.
He's still doing well. But, yeah, he's about a 40-pound dog, and his bark sounds like he's about 90. So it's nice because if my wife's home with the kids and they hear a bark, you know, people kind of get stepped back. But, you know, it's funny because most people know this. You know, I've had food allergies for 20 years. So nothing's life or death, thank God. You know,
yeah. Okay.
You know, it's easy. It's just, you know, it's more I eat something, I feel, you know, less than good, you know, we'll call it, for a couple days. But the funny thing is, when we were trying to pick out names, we went down the list of all my allergies. And the best one that stuck was barley, because he's kind of like a white, yellow, creamish, brownish dog. And we're like, barley. So my dog is actually named after one of my allergies, which is
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I love it.
And he's the old man of the house. That's awesome.
Yeah. He's spoiled more than the daughters, in my opinion.
He was there first.
Yeah.
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 Well,
I just figured he needed a shout out, because we talked about him last time, so we wanted to make sure he got his place in the sun, such as it is. So.
Thank you. He'll really appreciate it.
I'm sure. Two paws up.
Well, man, Mike, we can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast.
I thank you. This has been fun. I love doing podcasts, especially with fun people. So this was, you made it easy. And again, you know, I'm here to help, you know, whenever you need it.
Cool.
Well, I'll tell you what, anybody who's listening, you know, reach out to Mike on LinkedIn and keep him in your network. If you are in the Illinois area, he can help you out when and if you are ready to move on up. And for those of you listening, our faithful listeners, our new listeners, gosh, we appreciate you so much. You have no idea. We do this for you. We want to bring value every week. Hey,
Daddy, hold on 1 second.
Okay. And if you have not already, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, and hit 5 stars if you find value in this show. So, Ray, you want to take us out, bud?
We will. Mike Magliano, thank you so much for sharing your time and your expertise with us today. We learned a lot. Can't wait to have you back another time in the future. And for all our friends and fans out there, keep manufacturing out loud, because we need you.
Thank you for listening to MFG Out Loud with Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore. You You can subscribe and find show notes at mfgoutloud.com.